You're listening to a podcast from Bayside Church International.
I'm ready to go. There you go. Welcome. Glad you're here.
Great to see you.
Great to see you. Okay. It's 2017. This is a good year. This is an awesome year. This is a word from the Lord spoken into our lives and hearts. And you think, how can he do that? I've just done it. And as a prophet, you can stone me at the end of the year. No. At the end of the day, we serve an awesome, amazing God who's in charge of history. And he's in charge of us. Amen. And we can get to the end of this year and say, at the end of the year, my God was with me. And I've got a future. Amen. And amazing things happen. We had an amazing Christmas service. And those who were there would have thinking, oh, that's just so good down the beach. And we took an incredible offering up for Mercy Ships. It was over $1,100. How good is that? Mercy Ships is a terrific thing. The other thing I just want to say is that Jubilee lunch today. So that's happening. Talk to Glenys. She loves to talk to you about things like that. Don't forget to get your calendar for the month. And Church Together is coming up. Who loves Church Together? Or well, some of you are not very enthused. Church Together is an amazing thing. You have the worship team from here, plus a few other worship teams. Amazing corporate worship with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And we've got Tony Rainbow coming to speak. You know, he's the biggest larrikin in ministry in South Australia. And that's absolutely awesome. So Tony's coming. Come on, let's get excited about Tony. Okay, that's better. That's better. That's better. Getting there. Some are thinking, who's Tony? Come to Church Together. You, eh? Okay, need to explain where Danny is. Danny is actually having surgery shortly, if not already, and he just won't be in a situation where he can come and speak. And so we just, pray for him. So Father God, we pray that your hand would be upon Danny. And, you know, we just recognise that over the years this amazing leader has had an incredible amount of tragedy and tough stuff in his life. And I pray for him today that as he faces surgery, that the surgery go well and he will have an amazing year and an incredible sense of the presence of God and blessing on him in Jesus' name. And so, folks, we're going to take the offering, we're going to receive the offering. So if you could just get your offering ready, and in a moment we're going to pass the buckets. Is there anything else I've left out, Chad? No? No? I'll think of anything else? Okay, pass the buckets, and I'm going to give the microphone to Chad.
There you go. Thank you. Can I have that one? Thanks, Rob. Yeah, so as Rob said, we had planned to have Danny, as you know, for the Church Together weekend, 2 years in a row now. And so Danny just called me just before Christmas to say he had to go in for surgery. So the other thing that's happening with that weekend is we're having no events on the Saturday. So we had planned to have a couple of things happening on Saturday. So this year, with the late notice and with Tony's availability, we're simply doing the Sunday night church together. And it's really it's kind of like, for many churches in this area, it's the start of our year. I mean, it's gathering together with probably a good dozen or so churches are represented there on Warland Reserve, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. I'd say 500 or 600 people is kind of typical, depending on the weather. But please get there. It's a great way to start the year. And Tony, not only a longtime friend of ours, but a dynamic speaker and really worthwhile gathering together. No matter who the speaker is, great to be there as the church together in this region. Not just the Victor Harbour churches, but also churches throughout Port Elliot and Middleton and Goolwa. Because that's who we are. We're a church of people from Goolwa and Hindmarsh Island. For a little bit longer, and in Encounter Bay and Mount Compass, they're not very loud, and Haybra, and a couple of retirement areas. Let me hear it for Bay Village. They're wild in Bay Village, let me tell you. I tell you what, one thing that is happening this year is that we are losing one of our best. Our church is 14 years old. We started in September 2002, and effectively since our first month or two, or right at the beginning, Ivy was a part of our church family, and she is moving to Seaford this coming week. And we are going to miss her terribly. And in line with who Ivy is, she's prepared a long speech to come up on the microphone in front of everyone. And I think a song and a dance and an item, which is, it's very in keeping with her personality, as you know. So maybe not quite. Not quite, no, no. Instead, at our Jubilee lunch today for the over 50s, I'm sure that a number of very kind words are going to be spoken. But we're going to miss you, darling, and it's been a great privilege to have you part of our family for 14 years. That's a long time. And, yeah, we're so grateful for you. So bless you. Irene. So how about you ladies put your hand on her two shoulders. Three ladies. Lord, we bless your beautiful young daughter and we declare that grace and goodness of God will follow her all the days of her long, prosperous and healthy life. We thank you, Lord, that you lead her through the valley, you lead her through the high places. You are her shepherd and she shall not be in want, for you make her to lie down, you provide her every need. And we thank you for the beautiful and loved daughter that she is in the eyes of the King. And we bless her and we honour her today in Jesus' name. Come on. Amen. Awesome. Well, again, just reiterate Rob's words, a big welcome to you. If you're visiting with us today, I know a number of people are here on holidays. Our church family are going to put their hands together for you and welcome you while we deal with that. Do I need to stand on the stage? There you go. It says nothing. It says nothing. Malcolm Munro and Monica have been part of our church family for a good 10 years now. And in the last year, in the last 5 or 6 years, Mal, since we moved into this facility, Mal and Mon have served on our oversight team, our team of elders that essentially provide the leadership and governance to the whole of church life. Specifically in the last year or so, Mal's headed up what we've called a family life team. Family life. We are many things as a church family. It's part of where our pillars come from. We understand that just as Jesus has a number of identities, so also do we. We are not a single-dimensional people, as is Christ, as is God. He has revealed himself to be multifaceted, and in that, we also have multifaceted identities. But one of the strong identities of the church is that we are a family, and we call ourselves a family of friends. Because not all families like one another, but God's family, the language of the scripture is both family and friendship. And so we figure that that's a pretty good term to use. But for the last year or so, Mal's been heading up our family life team. We believe in family life. We believe in connecting. We believe in strong relationships. We believe in pastoral care. We believe in creating memories together. And occasionally, I think this might only be his third or fourth time, but Mal will take the pulpit and share a word with us, and I'm very excited to welcome him today. You're in for a treat. Come on, Mal. Oh, my Lord. A box of goodies. This is like, it's all the lollies he got from the Christmas pageant. Saw him down there. Lord, we open our hearts this morning and we thank you for your grace and strength over this gentleman, this brother of ours. We love him and honour him today and we say, Lord, empower him to do what it is you've called him to do. And in the name of Christ and all things fun, we say amen.
Amen. Can you hear me? You can. Well, good morning. Oh, there I am. Well, as Chad said, my function here is to head up a team of people who look after people. To love, to care for, not to be in each other's faces, but certainly when we can be a help, to be a help. Therefore, I'm always seeking ways to be more effective in that. And also to be aware of things that aren't so helpful. So I'm a very pictures orientated person. When someone gives me a concept that they want me to understand, I need a picture. So this morning I'm going to be mixing scripture with audio-visual. Now, not audio-visual up here, and you'll get what I mean in a minute. So you may wonder why I brought all this up here. There we go. Where are we going? All sorts of things in here. There we go. I'm a bit echoey. Can we sort that? My dear friends. Okay. So at home, we have a TV. We have a TV that's been around for a while, and it has a particular function. And you'll see that I've got lots of cables here. And they all look wonderful. I mean, there's that cable. Anyone who knows that cable will know that that doesn't work with a TV. Or that cable doesn't work with a TV. Maybe. That one does, kind of. A little bit. But this one here is the one that we're going to be looking at this morning. And that will make sense in a little while, okay? So we can put all this stuff in here. Now, this cable works. We know this cable works because we've tried all those ones and they don't work in this TV. And so what I'm doing this morning is I'm talking about connections. Connections, okay? Now, the spiritual aspect of this, and yes, I'm getting there, the spiritual aspect of this is that some cables work and some cables don't work and some cables do work. And this cable we're going to call this morning faith. That is our faith cable, okay? We'll undo that and we'll plonk that there so you can see the faith cable. Now, at Connect Group, I run a Connect Group on a Wednesday night, and we go through some of the Karis material with Andrew Womack. And one of the subjects that we talked about was healing. And that certainly created a lot of discussion. And one of the, a good friend of mine asked me, Mal, how much faith do you have? And I went, oh, well, I hope as much as a mustard seed. But it was taken aback a little bit because nobody had ever asked me that question directly. How much faith do I had? We prayed for people. I'd prayed for people. Some I've seen healed, some I haven't seen healed. And that was his question. Why is that? So, like I do, I'll take a question from somebody and try and give an answer at the time, but then I'll go home and I'll ask the Lord. And I said, well, Lord, how much faith do I have? You know all things and you know how much faith I have. So he sent me on a little journey. And he reminded me of the things that I'd witnessed. Now, my wife, Moni's not in here. She's yet to be in here while we have a preach. She's out teaching the kids, and I love that. That's great. But we have seen God do amazing things, so much so that we could not doubt. When he says something over our lives, we know eventually it'll happen. It might not happen the way that we see it happen, but it will happen. Now, is that because we have amazing faith? I think Moni and I would be very, very open and say, we think it has a little bit to do with us and a whole lot to do with God. The key for us was that we simply expected it. He'd done what he said he was going to do so many times in our lives. And we know that he is faithful. When I was a boy, my mum and dad used to listen intently before Christmas times and birthdays for the things that we wanted. And when Christmas time came, a birthday time came, we just knew that we would get something good and that it was paid for. We didn't have to worry about it getting paid for. We just expected that. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." We just believed him. Now, it's an interesting thing when you start going along a journey that the Lord has put you on. He loves jigsaw puzzles. You know, I was talking about pictures. He loves to put a bit there and a bit there and a bit there and a bit there. And when you start to see the picture come together, there's that, there's revelation. There's that aha moment. And Chad was part of that a little bit. He said, "Oh, you're talking on faith." Because I said, "Look, I'm starting to feel, you know, the juices sort of happening inside." And he said, "Well, if you're talking on faith, have a listen to Tony Ides." Now, Tony's from Freedom Life. He's preached in here before, and we consider him a great friend and a voice that is very, very pertinent in our church. If you don't know what pertinent means, because I had to look that up as well, that just means important. Or it's relevant. Thank you. Thank you. I will give you a lolly later. Thank you. So I'm going to be using a little bit of his notes because I listened to it and I went, I can't do as good as that, or that's just perfect. So I'm going to use a little bit of him. The cable scenario is mine, and my wife would go, "Yes, that's Malcolm," because I love that kind of stuff. So if there's nothing else I want you to hear this morning, is that having faith is far easier when we think, when we depend and put our trust in Jesus' faith, the faith he has given us. I'll say that again. Having faith is far easier than we think when we depend and put our trust in Jesus' faith, the faith he has given us. And the first scripture Tony used was Ephesians 2:8-9. "For by grace you've been saved through faith. And that is not your own doing, it is a gift from God." It's not of your own doing, it's a gift from God. So grace and faith are a gift from God. If it was our faith, it would be something we're doing. But this verse says it's not our doing, it's a gift from God. And as we go through, I'll clarify that, because all you theologians out there will go, So we'll get there. So again, I want to show the faith cable. Now, Moni and I have used this cable a lot in our life, and we realized that this cable was Jesus' faith. We know it works. We know it works because we plugged it in, plug that in, and it works. It works. We know it works. No doubt about that. Now, Jesus' whole life was to show us that there is a better way, not looking to ourselves, but to him. So then Matthew 17 came into my head, which it does often. What was happening here was that the disciples, and let's put ourselves in the disciples' place for a little while. They'd seen Jesus do amazing things. They're going, "Oh, wow." You know, there's so much stuff that was happening in their lives. And a father came up and said, "Look, my boy's got this demon problem, and can't seem to do anything about it. And so they got their other cable out and they stuck it on and they started praying and saying, it's got to work, this one's got to work, surely this one's got to work. And nothing was happening. Nothing was happening. And Jesus goes along and goes, oh, what? No, that's not that one. And he says, guys, you don't have enough faith, or you don't have the right faith. I tell you the truth, if you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. Now, I read that verse initially and went, well, Lord, I need more faith. I need more faith. I need more faith. I haven't moved any mountains lately. And how small is a mustard seed anyway? I've never seen one. Can you see what my language was there? Me, 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 me. I believe Jesus' point here was that disciples had to depend on his kind of faith rather than on the little faith that they had. The next verse Tony brings up is Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. It's Christ living in us, his faith working through us, and our role is to believe and cooperate with what he is doing in our lives. Now, getting back to my friend's question, how much faith do I have? I see people like history, Catherine Kuhlman, Smith Wigglesworth, and recently Andrew Womack, and these guys just they just rock. You know, they have such faith, and they see miracles everywhere they go. Things change. So, do I have anywhere near that kind of faith? And Tony's next point is this. If we look at Romans 12:3, and this is from the King James. For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man or woman among you, not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. The faith cable. When we get saved, the Lord goes, there you go. And we spend the rest of our lives going into the bag and finding treasures. And that's one of the first ones that he shows us. I'll get the right one again. Like, it matters which one it is, but it does to me. So there we go. That one works. It's the same measure to everyone. We are all on the same playing field. The key is in our believing and expectancy. You plug that into the cable in, and that into the cable in, and it works. Jesus' faith becomes our faith. When we were believing for the funds for this place, to renovate this, it used to be a transport depot. And we're going, well, it's something bigger than we've, you know. We've never prayed for that kind of size before, or as a group we hadn't. And a point I want to get across here, which is important, is that we know this cable works, okay? We know Jesus' faith works. Now, does it matter what kind of show or movie, if we're talking in AV terms, goes through that? Does it matter? We can have 20-minute docos. We can have 1 to 2 hour movies, or we can have blockbusters. We know that that cable works. Faith works. So it doesn't matter what you put through that, it works. So as a Connect group last year, we looked at a lot of subjects, as I said, and the one was about the healing. And we heard things like, salvation and healing are one. Healing is part of our salvation, part of our inheritance. We heard that God never brings sickness to teach you something. Murray, one of the lecturers there, Barry Bennett, says, look, we've got enough going on in our lives without God having to bring anything else in. It's him that comes along and he takes us and he teaches us and he says, I'm going to get you through this. Now, I remember in the movie Forrest Gump. We know Forrest Gump? Forrest? And there was one scene in there where Lieutenant Dan, right? He'd had so much stuff happen to him. He'd got his legs disappear, and he had no job, he had nothing, and he was up the top of this mast at a pinnacle in the movie going, is that all you got? Come on, you come and you... And so his whole attitude was that God was doing this to him. And then further on in the movie, you see how things change. Things change. Things change. And Forrest goes, and I'll try and get the accent right. He never did say, but I believe Lieutenant Dan had made his peace with God. He had made his peace with God. You know? Yeah, I don't know what I mean. We need to make our peace with God and know it's not him that sends any of the bad things. He always sends the best things, the great things, the inspiring things, and that includes faith. James 1:17 says, every good thing comes from the Father of lights. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So why don't we see everybody healed? Well, we know it's not God's fault, okay? We've hopefully made our peace, and if you haven't made your peace with God, just close your eyes for a second and make your peace with God. Well, there could be circumstances in people's lives that we don't know about. Now, where's my next thing? My little boy comes into me yesterday, goes, Dad, this DVD's not working anymore. It's not working. And I go, well, I call him Bubby Boy, and that's just between us. But if you look at the back of that, it's covered in fingerprints. Now, we know the cable works. We know the DVD and everything is supposed to work in the DVD player. We know that. But sometimes fingerprints can get in our lives. Things that we may not see. He didn't know there was fingerprints till I told him about them. And the Lord needs to come along. Sometimes it's gradually. Sometimes it takes a little while. But he cleans us up. Or he takes away the things that are in the way of us getting what we're believing for. Now, I don't have all the answers, okay? I don't know why sometimes we see healings and we don't. Sorry! Oh no, I don't have all the answers. Yeah, I'll leave that to Chad, okay? But the one thing I can do is I can make sure that everything in my heart and in my mind are cooperating with God. I can do that. That I'm using the right cable. I'm not using one of these ones that look good but don't achieve anything. I'm using the faith that Jesus has given me. Now, the next things are pretty much verbatim for Tony's preach because they were so good. I'm just going to read them. And everyone knows that they are Tony's, okay? Tony suggests that sometimes we window shop. Wouldn't it be nice to see that person healed? Wouldn't it be nice if it really happened? It's way out there. You know, that would be nice if it happened. But faith has been deposited into our spirits, and we just need to let it flow into our minds. Our minds get cluttered and full of unbelief. We don't need more faith. We just need less unbelief. So three things to pull unbelief out of our thinking. One is to acknowledge what we have. Philippians 1:6, if I could have that up, says that I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. He is doing a good work in us. When we became Christians, his Spirit came into our lives. His heart, everything about him is in our lives. His character, we just have to draw. We just have to draw from that. There's nothing like Jesus' love. There's nothing like Jesus' love. Secondly, we need revelation. A revelation that we already have these things inside. My dear friend Katie Orr from, from the New Life Fort. She's a friend from us from Philippines. And I was listening to a preach from her just recently, and she said that revelation gives us feet. Feet that will take us in the things that God has for us. So we need revelation. If things don't go the way that we think they're going to go, if we look at Romans 4, 18-21, we don't have to look at that. But it talks about Abraham and his faith. And he was fully convinced that God is able to do what he says he promises. And the third thing, we've had acknowledged that what we have, a revelation that we have that. And the third thing is action. Act on what you believe. James 2:17 says, faith without works is dead. And that's a whole other area that we could go, but just to say that using Jesus' faith, we can put a whole lot of effort into our little manufactured stuff. But if we'll use Jesus' faith, then we will see real things happen. Revelation is meant to take you into another experience in reality. What is a sickness or a demon to defy the power of God? As David declared over Goliath, you come with a sword and a spear, or we can put it in our terms, you come with sickness or infirmity or depression or whatever. But I come in the name of the Lord God Almighty. So, just getting back to our little audio visual. So, I've watched 20-minute documentaries. I've watched 1 or 2 hour movies. But I am believing for blockbusters. So, as a Connect group, and we have a prayer team at church. And this year's been great. We've seen lots of 20-minute documentaries, and we've seen a few 1 and 2 hour movies. We've seen some good things happen in God. But just before Christmas, we got a blockbuster. And I want to read a testimony from Renee Rennell, and then we're finished. My testimony, I've asked Mao to read this to you, and I can't be there due to work commitments, but I want you to hear my story. A lot of people don't know this, and I've kept it to myself due to my son's accident this year and the continual fight for his ongoing well-being as a result. The details I can't go into. But because of this, I have kept my health issues private, to not add any more stress to my son, and partly I only cared for his life, as a mother does. As a mother, all my prayers were for him. So now I will tell you my story. A few weeks ago at Connect Group, a few of you may remember Mal and Monica. This was taught towards our Connect Group, so that's why it sounds like that. A few of you may remember Mal and Monica and the group praying over my health. It wasn't a coincidence. I had finally asked Mal and spoken to him of my troubles, as God wouldn't let it go. I love that. I'm a quiet person and didn't want to upset anyone with my own issues or cause anyone to doubt their faith by me asking for healing just in case it didn't work. I also felt selfish to ask for prayers for me when I wanted only ones for my son, so kept it to myself. Earlier this year, I got told by doctors that they had found cancer cells in me. And so I've been in and out of hospital. I've been preparing to go into surgery in the next few weeks, and I'd face the fact. But God wouldn't let me accept it. I heard him tell me numerous times to be calm and I would be healed by him. And although I'd heard it and knew it in my heart, like I knew the sun would rise each day, I also had the little voice saying, "Don't be absurd, you need surgery." But God wouldn't let it go. I felt pushed and pushed by him till about 4 weeks ago, I finally spoke out and asked Mel for the group to pray for me. This was God's wish, and to not doubt it. And so the group prayed for me, not really knowing why. I like to keep things simple and private. People's lives are private, and if you know me, you know, and you know our church, you know your privacy is very, very important. God knows exactly what is going on. So the group prayed. I went back to doctors and asked them to rerun tests one last time to check progress. And last Thursday, I got a call from the doctors. All abnormalities are now no longer evident and no cancer cell was detected in me.
Woohoo!
That deserves a good praise. I'm free of it. I can hardly believe it. I'm still a little shocked, but so blessed. All is possible with God. He has shown me this so I can know that he is also fighting this impossible battle for my son, and to remain calm and strong, and to never doubt his power of love or to do the impossible. How great is our God, and I want to thank the group for listening to me and praying. And I also want to thank you all for your prayers as a group. What an amazing thing. And mostly thank God for his beautiful grace and gift. Isn't that fantastic? So when we use the right connection, when we use Jesus, Jesus' faith in our lives, and we trust in him, takes the pressure so much off. When we're praying for people, we go, "Lord, I trust in you. I know that you can do all things. I know if it's someone with a cold. I know if it's someone with bigger issues, that it doesn't matter. God's faith, Jesus' faith works." And as a leadership team this year, we're wanting to see things expand. We want to broaden our expectancy of him and look beyond our own horizons. And I'm really excited. So I'll hand over now to Rob. Take my bag of tricks.
Hey, just stay here, Mel. Just stay here. All of us should be able to go out of here today with a fresh sense of hope and confidence for this year. An excellent word to launch us into the new year. An excellent word.
Thanks.
My biggest praise to someone when they preach was, "Good job."
Thank you.
Good job, mate. Absolutely. And so there's this thing of making connections with God and connecting, and guess what? It's not just him that can do it. You can do that, because he shared that to encourage you to grab hold of what he did, to go on those sorts of faith journeys. But I think that verse that you said, that "for it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's a gift of God." How many of you have really got hold of that thought of Jesus' faith? You know, for some of you, just putting it like that, that might be even something quite new. But it's very true. Our faith does come from him. And so if it comes from him, it must be his. It makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And so does Jesus have faith? Well, as a man on earth, definitely. Does he have faith in his heaven? Well, let me tell you, he does. There's a verse in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, and Jesus, the day before, had cursed a fig tree and then it withered up. And the disciples were really excited about this withered up fig tree and how exciting that was. And then Jesus says, have faith in God. You know, you can move mountains. It's very much linked in with what you read from Matthew 17. But the thing is, if you look at how that originally was meant, it is have faith of God. The Greek actually means have faith of God. And you've got to think, how does God have faith? He has faith. And when we're talking about that, we're talking about, in a sense, like, well, you just imagine God at creation. And say, oh, I'm not sure about this. What if it doesn't work? Or what will the angels think? Or stuff like that. What am I going to do? But no, God had total confidence in who he is in himself and had authority. And so we're talking about taking authority because it's been given to us by Jesus. We've got that faith.
Yeah.
And thank you, Malcolm, for reminding us to get plugged in, get connected, Amen. And make sure the wires are okay. And good stuff will flow. I look forward to some blockbusters.
Amen.
Amen.
This has been a podcast from Bayside Church International. Thanks for listening.